Certainly it's a blessing just to be here tonight, to be with this congregation, to see you here tonight, to know that you're interested in the Word of God. God has been good to us. He has had certainly a beautiful stay here in Dublin this week. We had the privilege of going over to Brother James home this afternoon and dine sufficiently. Amen. We had some real brothers who came over and joined us, and we certainly did enjoy it very much. Fixed me a little old plate to go back home with all that sweets on it. I started telling him I was sweet enough, but I didn't say anything. I just said thank you and went right along. Amen. You folks down here eat good, don't y'all? We do it in Tennessee, too. We do well. So God bless you, and good to see the visitors and those who have come to join this congregation. We want to say that to the elders, just keep on keeping busy. Busy man, we always be doing things to keep his mind afloat and be working for the Lord. And that don't mean you're not going to have any problems now. It just means that you can overcome the problem that you get into. So I want to say again, you're doing a great job, and we thank God for men like you and Brother Stacy, who works here with this congregation. It's just a blessing to see men who enjoy themselves together. I've been a lot of places. Get to meet a lot of people, but I don't think I've ever been to any place where people enjoy themselves more than you all do. When y'all get together, I tell you, it's life and time. And that's good. We ought to have that fellowship one with another. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's just a beautiful way to be. You know, they say, I don't know whether it's true or not, but happy people live longer. Is that not right? Happy people. We need to learn, Brother Stacy, saying that you need to smile. Amen. Put your smiling face on. All right. Make like you're happy anyway. You might not be. But just kind of look like it for a little while. Amen. The devil is really busy. And I can't keep from saying about the young people. I want the young people to know I'm really enthused of the way that you turn out for services. It just makes me feel good on the inside. And I want you to keep on keeping on. Now, I want to say to all you young folks, I know you're going to have your ups and your downs and your problems in life, but that's no reason for not coming to church. Amen. When you get in a little problem, just work it out. Come on back. If you do wrong, repent of it and keep on coming. Because the devil's main goal is to stop you from coming to the Lord's house. Amen. I tell you what, up in my way, every June, I think it's June or July, whatever. Y'all might have seen it on television. Have you heard the name Bonnaroo? Boy, y'all must live a long way from that. Bonnaroo. Amen. That's a new thing going on in, well, it's not really new. It's been going on now for about 3 or 4 years in Manchester. Not in our county, but it's about 20 miles below us in the Manchester area. We call it Bonnaroo. Coming on television, whatnot, over 100,000 people come to this place. And I'm saying it for the young people, because you see, everything is there. The music, this is not my lesson, but it won't cost no extra. The music, the drugs, the dancing, the drinking, and everything else. When that Bonnaroo system comes in, every police around from, I guess, 40, 50 miles around will come out and try to control Brother Willie, 100,000 people. And that's hard to do. You got them out there? No respect. This may be already, but I'm going to say it anyway. Amen. Right on beside the interstate, 24, coming into Manchester. These people have no respect for nothing. Amen. They will use the bathroom right on side the road. Sorry, y'all. But I'm just telling you how it is. No respect. They were stripped down with nothing on almost and walk around in the area. How you know, George? I ain't never been in there. But I do know about it. Folks, tell me about it. That's the devil's work. And young folk, let me tell you this. Young people lose their lives almost every day because you will sometime get in. I'm not saying you are, but young folks in certain places get in the wrong company. They travel the wrong road. Amen. And some of them lose their life innocently because they're in the wrong place. Maybe you don't do nothing. Maybe you didn't do anything. But if you're in the wrong place, when other folks get into it, you're going to be in the way. Shooting and cutting and hitting each other with bottles. Amen. Gun. It don't have no sense. That bullet will go away. The gun is pointing. And it don't care who it hits. So I want to say to you that watch your company. Amen. Watch where you go. Watch who you're running with. Because, folks, you know, it don't take but just a few seconds to get in trouble. But it takes you a lifetime to get out. Just want to say that. Because I can see that things are only rampant, going from bad to worse in our world today. And it's seemingly that the church is the only institution who's trying to handle the problem. But you know what? It's going to take our polices and armed guards and soldiers have to come in sometime and try to control folks who get out of order. It's a bad situation. Man's mind is not stable. And I don't mean no harm about it. I usually say what I think within reason. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes it helps somebody. And because of this, our imagination are running wild. Is that right? Brother Simmons, you looking at me? Go to Genesis chapter 6. Y'all know my teaching. Get your Bible ready. Genesis chapter 6. Our imagination is running wild. It seems, and not only is it in the world, I'm going to come to this. It's creeping. It's creeping into the church. And we need men with the foresight, the intelligence, with a spiritual mind to try to keep God's church pure and holy and righteous. We need men who will stand up for the truth and not let the world just come into the church and do what they want to. Amen. You see, God's word is right. Some folks don't know a thing about spirituality. Amen. Brother James, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. I'll give you one too. And we look at the thing. 1 And Brother Simmons, Genesis chapter 6, and let me see, I start with verse 2. Would you get that for me? See, now, there's something, and I mentioned this when I came here, I had no faith. But when I saw all these young folks, I just want to say this, that the Son of God saw the daughters of men. And you know what? When we see something, we have that tendency to want to go after what we see. Isn't that right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. And women, you too. Ain't no difference between a man and a woman. Amen. Well, you know what I mean. Amen. I know us men look different than you do, and you women look different than we do, but the mindset is the same. Is it not right? So the daughters of men saw, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fat. Wait a minute. They were fat. Don't leave me from where I was reading that. They were fat. What do you mean the fat? They look pretty good. Is that not right? They look good. So since they look good, men begin to try to play a part in trying to gain what they see that's looking good. I want to say, young folks, you're going to school. Some of you may be trying to want to go to college. Or go wherever you go. But don't let looks fool you. Amen. Don't let looks fool you. All folks, when I've heard this, I want a tall, dark, handsome, and a curly-headed man. I see the old women grinning now. Amen. Man needs character. The looks don't mean a thing. It'll change. I don't care how good you look. You know what if you all that pretty teeth that you got, man, will be gone after what? The attention and the eyes that you have won't see as good as you used to see. And all that hair you got, some of y'all are going to slide out. The Word of God is right. So we're talking about the change of man in humanity. God put us here to live upon this earth and to take care of the earth, have dominion over everything that God created. But seemingly that man is getting out of hand because his mind ain't right. I'm going to show you. Read on down, Brother Simpson. They took them wives. See, they saw those women that were fast. So they got out there and got hold and took them for their wife. Is that not right? Read on down. And the Lord said, and when God talked, he said, is that not right? And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Read. So he also is flesh. Skin and bones, flesh, sinew, muscles, tissue. God made him like that, with the blood running up and down in his veins. You see, we are operated by God. God put us in motion, fixed us up, breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and he, that is man, became a living soul. Read on, brother. Yet his day shall be 120 years. Now, you got verse 6. Read. And it repented. Now, we're already getting in trouble. It repented the Lord that he ever made the man. Now, hold it right there. Why would God make a man and gave him dominion over everything? Then turn around and said, I hate because I made it. Isn't that right? Brother, we must be some terrible people. Huh? We don't want to act right. We don't want to listen right. We don't want to talk right. We don't want to fellowship right. We don't want to give right sometimes. We don't want to sing right. Amen. And a lot of things that we don't want to do right. Don't want to come to church right. Amen. And when we get mad at each other, we don't want to confess right. Man is a messed up person. But God repented that He made man. But now, God is a good God. He gives that the opportunity, that chance to become what we ought to be if we are strong enough. Now, when it comes, that's all right there. When it comes to spirituality, we're going to get into some things in a few moments. When it comes to spirituality, sometimes we are foolish. Now, I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings, but we're foolish people sometimes. Is that not right? Okay, you got 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14. Now, I want y'all to go home, study this now, and read this now. So I have this done. That's my way of teaching. For the natural man. Now, who is the natural man? People like us. Ain't been changed. Still in the flesh. Still think we somebody. Amen. We think we can control the world. Don't we? Amen. And when I say this about a man, women, don't be gloating. Because this same thing applies to you too. We're all a human beings. Is that not right? See, matter of fact, in the beginning, God made the man before He made you. Amen. I tell some of the women at home, they want to run me off sometimes. That's right. I said, don't you know that God made... I wish you could meet Brother and Sister Carolyn Battles. You don't know them, Brother. Brother, really, you ought to meet them. He gets in the church sometime, and we'd be having a beautiful Bible study in Sunday school class, and get you talking about something like that. And Brother Lewis Battles, he got a wife, pretty little lady, and he tells her, he says, see, I told you. See, God made you for me. You better act right, too. Amen. That just tears her up. I mean, it tears. I tell her, Sister Carolyn, he did. No, he didn't. He ain't got no. I said, yes, he did, too. He made you for Lewis. Amen. But now God made a woman for the man. Is that right? Why? Because it was not good for man to be alone. So He made him a help meet. That word help meet means suitable. Ready to be used. Amen. And the Bible said the woman's desire shall be to her husband. Is that not right? Now, I ain't going to go no further than that because I don't get other things. So now here we have this. The natural man, Brother James. Now here's the problem. The natural man receiveth not the things of what? Now did you hear that? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Didn't I tell you that some of us act fools? We're foolish folks. For they are foolish to Him. Amen. And Paul talked about it in the 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Is that not right? Yes, it does. So they are the natural man receiving not the things of God, for they are foolish to Him. Now, some people think it's silly to come to church on Sunday. Not only the world does it, but we got some folk who have been baptized think that too. Now, I know I'm dropping a load on somebody, but now, we have people in the church saying, boy, you don't have to go to church or something unless you feel like it. Well, if you wait until you feel like it, you might not never go. Amen. But there's a duty to perform. Is that right? We got made a commitment to God when we obeyed the gospel, when we were baptized, when we was added to the Lord's church, Acts 2:47. We made a commitment to God Almighty, and it's our job to try to serve God to the best of our ability, then God would judge us when we get up yonder. Is that not right? Now, God don't want no putting on. Now, read on, Brother James. Neither. Who can? The foolish man. Because he can't understand. Now, you take me. I'm not an airplane pilot. I don't know who here is. But you put me in an airplane and tell me George, drive that thing up. If I were you, I wouldn't drive it, me. But I think we'll wreck in a minute. I don't know nothing about driving no airplane. I do well to drive a car. Now, don't be lying to some of y'all say, amen. That's right. But I don't know a thing about everything. Why? That'd be foolish to me. I wouldn't know which gadget to push, to pull, what make it go up, what make it come down. Would you? Well, sir, I better not say that because some of you might be powerless. I don't know. But if you're not, it would be foolish. The Word of God is foolish to some folk. Amen. That's why some folk won't obey, because it's foolish to them. Read on, brother. Because they are spiritually discerned. Is that what it says? Spiritually, if your mind is not in a spiritual form, spirituality don't seem like it's nothing to a man who don't understand spiritual things. Amen. Now, Romans 15 and 1. Paul said, let the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. Now, we need a church. We need people. Now, some people don't realize they are weak. They think they're all right just the way they are. Amen. And that's why we have our ups and our downs among the Lord's church, because people don't study and read enough to see where they stand in the sight of God. We owe God. We owe God because we belong to Him. We don't belong to ourselves. We are bought with the price. We're supposed to glorify God in this body. Make God happy. Is that not right? But if we don't try to do that, God is not pleased with us. There were a couple of young men. I want to see every. Let me say this. When you come to church, and I want to drop this, on Sunday morning, should be Saturday night, should be already home. As the Sunday or the worship day gets closer, we ought to be making preparation to get ready and go and serve God. And on the morning that we walk in this door, our mind is already made up. We don't have to figure out what we're going to do. Our money ought... People don't like talking about money. Our money ought to be ready. See, some folk come to church and they don't know what they're going to give. Yeah, I know they do. I'm not no fortune teller, but I do know that. When they get here, they just start ramming in their pockets, start looking, see, got to find something. But that ought to have been done before you on Saturday night. You got it together, put it in your pocket, put it up, or you can't get it, so you run to Walmart. Amen, because you don't spend God's money. But now, His money ought to be ready, because you're serving a true and a living God. These are worthy goals for the church to look at, for our Christian folks to look at. They're worthy goals for the church. We need to get ready. Make preparation. Our hearts need to be right. And sometimes our hearts are not right. There are a couple of men. I don't know whether you ever thought about this. There are a couple of men. I want Brother Willie, go to 2 Chronicles. This is a hard book. I'll give you time for y'all. I see people just writing down. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. And you don't have to rush. I take your time because I start with verse 1 and 2. Now, I want somebody else to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verses 20, if you remember correctly, and put your finger on that. But I want 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 1 and 2 first. I'm going to show you something here about a couple of men who have different attitudes. Brother Willie. Now listen, Amaziah was 25 years old. I want y'all to follow this now. I want you to get this in your mind. What's going on? Okay, read on down. When he began to range, he ranged 29 years in the city of Jerusalem. Now watch this. Read on. Okay, see, it gives the history of his background, his family, some of his family, in that system. But the reason they put him in here, because he thought he was all right, but he had a problem. I'm going to show you. Now, read on down. She was off Jerusalem. Now, hold it right there, brother. He, you know, if you stop there, what would you think? He's all right. Brother Stacy, he's all right. But you know, God has some things to do, don't he? He's all right. He did that which was right in the sight of God. Why, you say, well, he's a good man. Lord, I wish I was like him. You better keep on reading before you wish you were like him. Now watch this. Read on. Not with a perfect heart. What are you saying? Now, some people come to church on Sunday morning. They're trying to worship God. They think they're right. But their heart's not into it. This man thought he was all right with God. Is it not right? But his heart wasn't into it. You know, one translation said that a dedicated heart. There's a difference in a dedicated heart and a heart that's half-heartedly. And one translation says half-heartedly. He worshiped God half-heartedly. When you see people come to church now, ain't nobody said nothing to me. I hadn't been here this long to see all this. But I know how I see it home. And everybody the same everywhere. The only difference, brother, you in Georgia, and I'm in Tennessee. Amen. Ain't no difference in us about a few miles difference, that's all. The action is still the same. Is that not right? So I've seen people come to church, sit down, and sit there. And they ain't sick either. Y'all know what I'm going to say? They ain't sick. Excuse my language. I use ain't if I want to. They ain't sick. But they sat there on the front seat like you and fall off to sleep. Ain't heard nothing. Y'all look at me real strange. See, if a person's feeling bad, I can understand. Amen. If he's sick, or she's sick, I can understand. But some of you go to sleep on the seat because you didn't get in time. Amen. But these folks, they ain't running around. They're too old. Amen. But they say they're all right. Every time the preacher gets up there, they drop off. This is husband and wife. They sit together. Both of them sleep together. Amen. That didn't come out too right, did it? Amen. The word of God is right. They sit there and go to sleep, and somebody has to punch him. Reckon he jumped. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Well, now that person, if he's not sick, not feeling well, his mind ain't fixed to worship God. Now I'm gonna say that now. I'm not afraid to say stuff like that. His mind ain't fixed to worship God. God is the only being in the world that you ought to give all the respect you can give to. Amen. Doesn't matter about what man thinks, it's what God thinks. You gotta see, God don't have to come down here and tap you on the shoulder. He's looking. He's looking. And he sees everything that we do. And because Amaziah didn't worship God with a perfect heart, one translation says half-heartedly. If you read on down in the book, somewhere between 14th verse and on down to 20, you find because of his bad decision that he done, God fixed that man and caused him to die. Now, I'm not saying God is going to do you that way, but God don't like people playing with him. He wants us to be serious what we do. That man didn't worship God like he should have. But now, there's a difference in folk. I'm going to show you another man. Now, who got 2 Chronicles 31 and about verse 20, I guess, 19, 1, 20. Either one of you begin. And thus did Hezekiah. Now, y'all study this now. Thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah. Now, it's starting off pretty good because you go back, and I don't have time to go all the way through, but search that book, you find that Hezekiah was a dedicated man. He loved God. He followed God's command. Now, read on, Brother James. He wrought that. He did that which was good and right. How you put all of that in there? Because, won't you understand? When you do right, right will come back to you. Huh? Paul said, if you sow to the flesh, you shall out the flesh, reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you shall out the Spirit, reap everlasting life. If you do wrong, you're going to receive wrong. You can't plant potatoes and expect to get watermelons. Amen. Y'all know that, don't you? You can't sow your sins and expect to go to heaven when you die. You got to clean your life up and live right. You might still make mistakes, but you can correct those. But there's a difference between making mistakes and living in it. And some folks don't understand that. This man, Hezekiah, was a dedicated man. Read on, Brother James. And truth before the Lord, he lived in truth. Truth, John 8:32, ye shall know the truth. Truth shall make you free. The truth is the only thing that's going to save us anyway. Truth about the matter is some of them are not dedicated. Amen. I know that. Churches all over the world, you're going to find some that's not dedicated. And what beats me, Brother Chris Whitaker held, y'all don't know Brother Chris, he's a fine preacher. Brother Chris Whitaker held a meeting in our area and drove 55 miles each night to go get there for the services. People living next door couldn't get there before he started preaching. They didn't drive a car. All they had to do was walk about 25 steps. They'd be in the door. He got up and worked on that. He said, I don't understand how in the world that I can drive 55 miles and get here on time. Somebody said, you meddling now. Well, that's all right. Amen. And you live right next door and still can't get there. You know why? We're not committed. We don't care. We're not dedicated. And we dare anybody to say anything to us. But let me tell you something. God's going to say it. And one day if you don't cut it up, cut it out, and stop it, He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. That's what it's all about. You can't play with God. He's not a plaything. God is serious business. Read on, Brother James. Now, like this. In every word, everything you do, all you all try to satisfy God. Isn't that right? God will satisfy him in everything that you try to do. In every word. I tell you, that's doing something. In everything that he did, boy, I tell you, God was pleased with his word. Read on, Brother James.
Of the house of God, and in the law, and in the
commandments. I'll tell you what. He done everything that God needed him to do. And God was pleased with it. Amen. What else?
And seek God.
Look. Say what? This S-E-E-K, seek his God. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first. Who? Seek ye first. What does it mean, first? Y'all listen. My name is George. I'm from McNeville, Tennessee. Seek ye first. You know what that is. Now, the only thing I know sometimes when a person seeks something first at home, we have once a month, out there on Highway 56, they have a food giveaway. Amen. Now, and I see some of those brothers can't make it to church on time. Amen. And that thing opened up about 7 o'clock in the morning. Go on, Brother Simmons. He's over here about to cry. They'd be the first one out there. You know why? Because they're getting something for themselves. Ain't nothing wrong with the getting. Ain't nothing wrong with the taking. But you ought to treat God in the same manner that you treat. Matter of fact, you ought to treat God better than you treat yourself. Amen. If you got enough stamina to get up early that morning and get out there, you ought to have enough stamina to get up and get on your way to the house of God. Unless there's a reason why you can't, and it's not your fault, you can't help that. Providential hindrance, you can't handle that. But if it's because you're just lazy, somebody said, don't bring him down here no more. Amen. If he's just lazy and don't want to get there, see, you're going to have to pay for all this stuff. God don't forget nothing. People used to tell me, elephant don't forget nothing, but elephant dies. God don't forget nothing, and God don't die. Amen. So God knows what we're going through. He understands all our problems, all these kind of things. You know, that's what it's all about. Hezekiah was a man of God. He was committed to help to the truth. He loved the pleasures of God, brother. What does it say?
It is with all his heart and
pride. That's what I want. Don't you see the difference? He did it with all his heart. And when you do it with all your heart, you will prosper. Amaziah didn't do it with all his heart. He said, with a perfect heart, a half-hearted man doing some things, down in the chapter later, God killed him because he wasn't committed. Hezekiah did everything, and he did it with all of his heart, and God made him prosper. That's the difference, church. Let me tell you something. Whatever goes on, whatever you do, you need to do it with all your heart. Put your soul in it. Put your whole mind in it, and do it, and be glad that you can do it. Amen. I've seen people laying on the deathbed. We got a young man, not a young man, he's in his 80s right now, been sick quite a while now. And we go to the hospital, and we go to he's been in Nashville, he's been in Manchester. Right now he's at Mount Memory in the hospital, having probably done took his leg off right there, and he's suffering. Oh, he can't hardly handle it, and he's losing blood somewhere, all that kind of thing. He said, one day he said, boy, I wish I was more faithful to God when I felt good. Why would he say that now? Huh? Why couldn't he say that when he was well?
Amen.
Don't you see what I'm saying? We wait until something dreadful happened, then we come up with this thing, I wish I. Now, you got a chance. We got a chance right now to do what we need to do with God. Amen. But once we get down and out and can't help ourselves, and all that kind of thing, we want to call on God. And ain't nothing wrong with that, but God said in Luke 6:46, I'm going to quote, no, I don't want to quote it. I'm going to turn there and read it. I want you to get it, and I want you, let me show you what it said. Amen. Luke 6:46. And when you get it?
And why?
And why? 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 You want to call on the Lord when you ain't been treating him right. Huh? Amen. Some of y'all still looking. That's good. I like that. Jesus said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the thing that I say? Don't we do that? Oh, I tell you. We some creatures, I tell you what. No reason God said, repentance me that I ever made the man. Because so many things about us that we need to learn to control. Amen. We can have some bad thoughts, but if we control that thing, we're going to make it. You see, when you feel like balling your fist up and hitting somebody, brother, what's your last name? Roger? Don't do it. Amen. When some of you women said, I'll smack your head off, don't do it. Just don't do it. Bite your tongue. Bite your tongue. Hold on to what you got to do, what you got to say. I said that one time in one congregation. When I got through, I went back to the door, Brother Carr. The woman said, "Brother King, I can't bite my tongue. I ain't got no teeth." Oh, you run into a lot of things when you're out there in public, Brother Stacy. I tell you what, people have it for you. Amen. The Word of God is right. Cannot be wrong. We need to learn to appreciate God Almighty. Is that not right? The Word of God is right, church. It's right because God said it is right. We're going to be judged according to the will of God. Then we will stand before the throne of God, and then God is going to judge us by the book. Is that not right? And if we've done anything contrary, what the book does not teach, or added something what the book shouldn't have, we're going to be in trouble. Add thou not unto his word, lest God reprove thee, and thou be found a lie. Is that not right? God's word is right, because it's supposed to be. Time is up, church. That's the most stuff I want to get on, but if I get on that, it's going to be too long. But the word of God, I tell you, church, remember, God is good. The only person you can depend on when men will let you down is God. The only thing we can do is take you to the grave. We can't hurt the soul. You determine where your soul go while you're living. By our life, by our action, by the way we act in God's height. So if you're here tonight and have not been faithful to the Lord's church, don't let nobody discourage you. Don't let nobody run you away. Don't let nobody put you down and cause you to get discouraged and don't want to come back. You keep on coming, because one of these days you're going to close your eyes and death, and all this will be over. Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I give you a crown of life that fadeth not away." God is going to take care of every one of us if we live right. And he's going to take care of if we live wrong. He's going to send us to the place that we will be ready and deserve to go there. He ain't going to send nobody to hell if they don't deserve to go. God knows our heart. He knows our thinking. He knows everything. Why not come? By hearing the word of God. By believing the same. Repenting of our sin. Confessing Christ. Be baptized. Let God add you to the church. Acts 2:47. Live a faithful life. Revelation 2:10. And the last day he can. Thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I make thee ruler over many. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Let us stand while we sing the song of invitation.